Well, it's time to talk retirement, brought to you by Evergreen Lifestyle, offering you a partnership for life. And as we heard from Michael Prinsloo of Alex Forbes on Tuesday, more than half of South Africa's retirement fund members are retiring on a pension that is one-fifth, 20% or less of their last salary. The latest research from Alexander Forbes reveals that we are just not doing very well when it comes to our retirement savings. And the findings tie in with those of another major survey of funds and members conducted by Sanlam. In its benchmark survey, trustees canvassed were of the view that less than 16% of retirement fund members are actually on track to achieving their retirement goals. Add to this the fact that we're living longer, medical aid inflation constantly running ahead of your CPI numbers, and I think the scale of the challenge to retire in comfort becomes crystal clear. Well, to talk about the key building blocks of a good retirement model, I'm joined now by Arthur Case, CEO of Evergreen. Arthur, great to chat again.
Hi, Michael. Great to be on your show again.
Now, you've been busy since we last spoke with PSG Alpha taking a 50% stake in the business. How's that partnership going?
The partnership is just doing fantastically, Michael. It's a great partnership because AMDEC, our original founding shareholder, is a property development company, which you need all that expertise when you're building retirement estates. And, of course, PSG are a financial services company and who like to invest in products that they believe are scalable. So it's a good partnership, and PSG are very engaged shareholders. They're not just sitting on the sideline. They are very involved in working with us to roll out our plan for the future.
A very exciting partnership, as you've just set out. Now, set the scene for us, Arthur. What are the top-of-mind issues for seniors approaching retirement and those who've already retired?
Well, I think, you know, you spoke about the problem that that South African boomers have in terms of not having saved enough for retirement. It's very real. It's not just South Africa, it's a fact all around the world. Boomers, it seems, were risk takers, they enjoyed a great lifestyle, but just didn't, I think they all thought they could pull a rabbit out of the hat in the last sort of 5 or 10 years of their working lives, and many have not been able to find the rabbit. So people have got to think very carefully about planning for their retirement, first of all in terms of, you know, what capital they have available, and how they're going to deploy that capital. And you know, I attended a conference recently with independent financial planners, and one of the things that came out there was that they're very good in advising seniors about accumulation of funds for retirement, but seem to disappear when the time comes to talk about decumulation and how do I best spend this retirement grubstake that I've got.
Yeah.
So lots of challenges, and I think people need to just look at what's affordable and then to start thinking about, I'm probably going to live longer, where am I going to live? Where am I going to live is one of the big questions, and that could be I'm going to stay in my own home, I'm going to scale down to something smaller, I'm going to be forced to liberate the capital from my home and rent. That's a terrible solution, but some people are doing it. Or I'm going to move into a residential estate where there's security, or a retirement estate where there's security and a bunch of other benefits. Yeah, so those are all considerations that people need to work through. And you know, what I also see a lot of, Michael, is that because people are concerned about the future, many seniors are just putting their heads in the sand, you know, hoping that the problem will just somehow resolve itself.
Well, I think hope is the worst strategy, Arthur, but I couldn't agree with you more around that transition issue. There are lots of financial advisors around while you're saving, earning commissions and fees. When you're going through the transition and purchasing an annuity and making those really important decisions that are going to affect you for the next 20, 30 years, people and advice sometimes are a bit thin on the ground. Now, talk to me about the issue around the different models that one gets, because you can go into different kinds of retirement estates and villages. What is a life right, and how does it differ from the traditional or the other retirement models?
So the other retirement models would be your traditional sectional title and freehold retirement village where you own the property. Some schemes, earlier schemes, were built on the share block concept where every resident is a shareholder in the business. But the life right is completely different. And the biggest difference is that the developer of the retirement product or the retirement estate stays involved literally for life. So when Evergreen sells a life right, we take on a lifelong liability towards our purchaser, our life right holder. And you need to be there in good times and in bad. It really is almost like a marriage. And we welcome that responsibility and that liability because we're building a long-term business. When you're in the life right industry, you need to have patient capital, which our shareholders are happy to invest. And we'll make great returns for those shareholders in the medium to long term. But in the short term, you need to have capital and to be able to support those life right holders. You know, for example, if you talk about levies, very often people are quite comfortable about the purchase price of the life right, but they are concerned about levy inflation in the future. So we've taken a couple of decisions around that. We're only building large villages now. We're building scale villages, you know, between 500 and 800 units in a village, which is the only real defense against levy inflation. And, of course, at Evergreen, we don't profit from levies. So we hope when the village is sold out that we are able to recover the direct operating cost of that village.
Does that mean no special levies, Arthur?
Absolutely. Different people interpret the Retired Persons Act differently. We think we've got the interpretation spot on. And the Retired Persons Act, or the Housing Development Schemes for Retired Persons Act, precludes the charging of special levies, which people don't think about when they're buying into a new development because it's all brand new and they are, the developer probably still has some liabilities in terms of the built environment. But as villages age, they need spend. And if it's a new village, it probably won't start out with any capital in its levy stabilization fund, and that becomes the burden on the purchaser, on the resident. Whereas in a life right village, all of that capital is provided by the developer, and we continue to invest in our villages because we want them to remain pristine. It's our asset, and we need to look after it.
And now that's on the levy side. There's also another attractive part of this, and it's around flexible purchase pricing. Surely you have a price list determined by the value of the housing unit.
Yes, we have. I think we've pioneered. We noticed how flexible the life right model is. And of course, not all life rights are the same. People can employ the life right concept differently. But pretty much standard in South Africa is the standard model is that you'll pay the purchase price for the unit, which is more or less aligned to the market value of the home you're moving into or the apartment. And you'll normally get back, or your estate will get back 100% of the capital. In other words, it's almost like a refundable life right. But then we realized that we had purchasers who either couldn't afford the purchase price, but had the retirement funds to manage the ongoing levy. So we said, what happens if we drop the purchase price? We call it flexible pricing. And we compensate with that by reducing the terminal capital at the end. So maybe you'll purchase for a lesser amount and you'll only get back 80% or 60% of your original capital. And that helps people, you know, some people want to sell the family home and liberate some capital, so they'd rather pay the lower purchase price and invest the balance that they've been able to liberate. Others who don't have concerns about legacy capital will in fact opt for the lowest possible purchase price. So we offer that on all of our new schemes. With resales, we don't need to do that because there's usually demand in our villages, so those resales happen quite quickly. But yes, that's great flexibility. Just in terms of the, you know, Evergreen still prefers to sell it at the original ticket price, because the internal rate of return is a little bit less when you discount the price or use flexible pricing.
Yeah.
But we think it's a benefit for certain purchases, and we do it, and very often it makes for a faster rate of sale in our new villages.
I understand that model, but why would I want to purchase a life right and then forfeit future capital growth when I could actually buy into a sectional title retirement village right up front and enjoy services and capital growth?
Well, there's a whole long list of reasons why you should consider this, but let me give you the most important one. The most important one is that the life right developer stays involved and provides all of the services and the care, taking away many of the costs involved in managing your own property. And the biggest hassle of that is that the sectional title and freehold developer builds a beautiful village, sells it out, and then leaves. They have no responsibility. So you have to form a homeowners or body corporate where the residents themselves must elect amongst themselves people to manage the village, manage the finances, manage the estate. They may outsource the estate management component to a third-party managing agent. But in our opinion, that third-party managing agent can never match a developer who is absolutely fully committed. You know, it's interesting, if I can just mention, Michael, that when we started selling life rights 10 years ago, we had some competitors in Cape Town who railed against the life right and, in fact, you know, told the market this is not a good product. And interestingly, you know, those developers today are selling life rights. I attended a conference in Joburg a few weeks ago, and it was a business-to-business conference in the retirement industry, and we had a little survey. And everybody who attended that conference, some 200 people, said life rights are the future of retirement in South Africa. So we're so confident about that, Michael, that more and more purchasers are not even asking the question anymore.
I think imitation is the highest form of flattery, they say, Arthur. So I think that clearly demonstrates that the model has been proven successful. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for tonight. But I look forward to next week, where hopefully we can unpack some of the key things to look out for, because not all life rights, as you said earlier, are exactly the same. So I do hope you can join us then.
I would love to. Thank you, Michael. Have a great day.
That was Arthur Kay, CEO of Evergreen, talking to us a little bit more about the Life Right model that Evergreen has developed, and sharing a little bit more about that very exciting partnership with PSG Alpha.